Wednesday, October the 28th, 2015. Happy birthday to Jarrett Jack. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and also by at Dave Sue T, who was the latest person to leave a review for the podcast on iTunes. So again, if you want to get yourself as a sponsor of the show, leave a review on iTunes. Let me know that you've done it, and or you know, I might see it as well. And you can be a sponsor of the show. Moneyball, though, is the actual sponsor of the show. And I really encourage everyone in Australia and New Zealand to check them out. It's Australia's first, or Australasia's first, daily fantasy site. And hopefully everybody enjoyed playing on there today. Hopefully some of you won some money. Some of you wouldn't have. I think I ended up making a little bit of a profit on today's games. There is a Red Rock League out there already in the lobby on Moneyball. It's already half full. So if that fills up pretty quickly, I will start a second. We had three going yesterday. If we can get three going each day, we might even get more. Go ahead and join those. Wow. What a day. It was clearly, obviously, it was the first day of NBA action. And we had some surprises, which we're always going to have. We had some stupid performances, really, just some big numbers from guys that we expect it from, guys that we don't expect it from, and that's the stuff that's always going to happen. And I stressed this yesterday, that we're going to have performances where you're going to be scratching your head in a bad way and scratching your head in a good way, because you're going to be thinking, you know, is this real? Is this real? Is he going to continue in this manner? Is he going to be this good? Is he going to get this many minutes? Is he going to be this bad? Is he going to get this few minutes? And while there are some things where we look at and go, okay, maybe we can get a bit of a trend out of that, there are other things where you go, look, let's just calm down. And I will touch on all of those throughout the podcast. We're going to go through, and if you are new to listening to the podcast with the daily format, what we do is, or what I do, is we go through the award winners of the night. So go through four awards: the Monstrous Line of the Night, the Best Fantasy Performer of the Night, that is, the Waiver Wire Line of the Night. Pretty straightforward. Generally, it's guys who are owned in less than 50% of leagues who have the best fantasy performance. Young Gun of the Night, which is the best first or second year player. And the Dud of the Night, the worst performance from a highly owned player. Then we'll go through and recap the day's games. And then we'll head into the next part, which is the preview section for the next day's games. And we've got a whopper for tomorrow, 14 games. So let's waste no time. Let's go straight into the Monstrous Line of the Night, and I'm pretty sure that you all know who it is. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it on the screen. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors, he was on fire. I think it's fair to say he was putting up some crazy, crazy numbers. Ended up with 40 points, hit by three, six rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals. Elite percentages. Steph came out on an absolute mission. He had, it was basically over from there. You know that I was banging the Steph Curry drum pretty much all season as the number one pick. This does not in any way validate me putting him as the number one pick, but it's a pretty good result from Steph. And we're going to see lots of lines like this. And that's one of the things that he gets overlooked with is, yes, he scores. Yes, he hits threes, but he's an awesome field goal percentage guy as a point guard. And he's a really good rebounder, and he's a really good guy at steals. And he did that here. 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. They're all fantastic numbers. Hopefully, if you got the second pick in your draft, you would have picked Curry. If you were me and you had the first pick, you would have picked Curry as well. And that's a really, really good start from Steph. Obviously, there's not much more to say about Steph Curry. We know he's good. He proved he's good. Yet again, the disappointing thing about that is that I've just realized I'm broadcasting this live, and the podcast hasn't been recording. So I'm going to have to fix that up a little bit later. So I apologize to audio guys. We'll get that sorted. Let's move now on to the waiver wire line of the night, and that is Ish Smith of the New Orleans Pelicans, which is, I think a lot of people, I was definitely surprised with that. Ish Smith came, he only signed 24 hours ago for New Orleans Pelicans, came off the bench, he played 38 minutes, led the team in minutes, had 17 points, hit a three, had 2 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, he went 7 of 13 from the field. And this is one of the big questions that we're getting. Is Ish Smith for real? Is this for real? Ish Smith is a really good passer. He's a really good distributor. We saw that in Philadelphia last year. I wanted Philadelphia to keep him and bring him on as the point guard again this year because he would have been a great guy to distribute the ball to Nerlens Noel, to kick it out to Covington, to get it into Jahlil Okafor. They neglected to do that. What do we make? Nate Robinson was terrible. He started, played 19 minutes, didn't trouble the scorers at all. He took one shot, missed it, nothing. Ish Smith, 38 minutes. Now, the thing is that Drew Holiday's going to start. Drew Holiday's going to have his minutes limit up to 20. He's not going to play 15. He's going to play 20. That's what we heard. Next minute, Drew Holiday not playing at all, which was it was definitely a weird one. The Pelicans medical staff, I'm not going to say they're annoying, but they are. They're frustrating. I think that's probably the best way of saying it. The Pelicans guys are pretty frustrating in terms of what they information they released, but this was just conflicting. We just said, yeah, Drew's right. He's going to go 20 minutes. It's all good. And then he just doesn't play at all. Now, what they did say, that he's not going to play in back-to-backs, which we knew that. The Pelicans have a back-to-back. So Holiday is most likely going to play against Portland. So Ish Smith's minutes are going to drop down. We're going to have 20 minutes come to Holiday. So Smith's not going to get 38 minutes. He might drop 20. He might drop 15. We might see some minutes come off Robinson as well. There's going to be times when Ish Smith's going to be useful, but in the overall scheme of things, on the night's Holiday plays, Ish Smith's not going to have much value. So in a 10-team league, I don't really love the addition of Ish Smith. You might be able to stream him in on certain nights and hope that he gets a big run like this, but I think I'm fairly confident in saying 38 minutes, 17 points, 9 assists and 3 steals is probably going to be the best line we see from Ish Smith all season. So don't go and sacrifice great players to go and get Ish onto your team. It's just, I don't think it's going to be worth it in that sense. In a deeper format, a 14-team league, and if you did pick up Nate Robinson, I'd be switching him out for Ish Smith because we saw the way they want to run it. We saw Ish Smith getting more of the minutes, and we saw Ish Smith being the better player. So that's not a horrible move, but I'm not dropping someone who hasn't even played yet just to, I need to get Ish Smith on my roster because it's not going to be prolonged. Well, that's the way that I see it anyway. Next, we want to look at the young gun of the night, the player in his first or second year in the league who had the best fantasy performance, and it's Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. He played just 25 minutes. Yes, he did have some foul problems. He had 5 fouls in those 25 minutes, but he still led the Bulls in scoring with 19 points. He hit 3 threes. He was on fire to start the game. 9 boards, just one shy of the double-double, an assist and a steal. Hit all 4 of his free throws. He was fantastic. I was pumping him pretty hard at the start of the season. The Basketball Monster projections had him coming out just stupendously high. I think top 30. He's off to a really good start. And we saw, we saw Joakim Noah play limited minutes. We saw Pau Gasol be really ineffective. We saw Taj Gibson play a small amount of minutes. Mirotic didn't get the most minutes in the front court, but he was clearly the most effective guy. He's clearly the most dangerous player. In this game, he was anyway, and had a question come through before the day. It was like, do I start? Do I put Nikola Mirotic into my starting lineup in a roto? Because they're looking at conserving games played. He's a top 60 guy, 100%. I had him in that going to be a pretty solid shooter a lot of the time. He's going to provide a lot of value. So we can look at Nikola Mirotic, and hopefully this is the start of a big breakout for him. Next, we have the dud of the night. So that's a guy who's highly owned and puts up the worst performance of the night. And I had a lot of calls for Anthony Davis to be that guy. He wasn't quite there because he still ended up being pretty good. He was definitely not what we expected from him, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But Kyle Korver, a guy who's owned in about 97% of leagues on Yahoo, he had 7 points in his 29 minutes. He hit 1 3. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. The percentage wasn't there. 3 of 9 from the field. Didn't attempt a free throw. He was only 1 of 5 from 3-point land. Just an overall poor performance from Kyle Korver. I had him drop down a little bit in my draft boards this year. I wasn't sure how he was going to return from the injury. Now, the Hawks didn't need to really push guys out their big minutes because they were getting pumped by the Pistons. So I don't think the 29 minutes is much of a worry for Kyle Korver. And he's going to have better nights than this. This is not a call that we need to go out and drop Kyle Korver or anything like this. But it definitely wasn't the best start to a season if you did drop Kyle Korver and think that he was going to be as red hot as the way he started off last season. That enables me to transition into that game, the Detroit Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to cover that game in a little bit more detail now. As you can see on the screen, the Pistons with the big victory, and Drummond was a monster. He had 18 points, 19 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, and you might go, that's all right. Yeah, 6 of 10 is pretty good. He was a 38% guy last year from free throw, but you know what? It's It's 10 attempts and it's 6 of them. It's really, really bad still. But you know that. You know that it's bad. And this is why you draft him. And this is why you never attempt to balance out Andre Drummond in a free throw percentage situation. No, I'm going to put James Harden there. It's not going to happen. He started to get hacked in this game. His field goal percentage was pretty bad as well. But you know, in a Roto situation, it's bad also. But look at those points, the rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, big, big numbers. We expect the field goal percentage to come up from Drummond. A big night from him. Reggie Jackson was really good, 15, 8 and 5, 2 steals, 2 threes. And they're the things that drop him down draft boards is no threes, no steals. We had 2 of each here. That's really good. He was 2 of 4 from 3. Love how he fits in. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was on fire. He had 4 triples for 21 points. He's basically a points and threes guy. He's a good defender. Not a great guy with steals, though. 1 steal here. He's still not, that's great. And he played 37 minutes. He's going to get as many minutes and as many shots as he can handle. We saw that last season. That's going to continue. But just don't expect him to contribute in too many areas. The interesting thing for Detroit was how the front court worked out. Marcus Morris played 37 minutes for 18 and 10. Ersan Ilyasova played 34 minutes and went 16 and 7 with 3 triples and a block. And both those guys, Ersan Ilyasova should have already been owned in 12 team leagues. Marcus Morris, if he's going to play 37 minutes a night and get 19 shots, granted he only hit 6 of them, but he still hoisted 19 shots, you have to consider him. But he's an inconsistent player. He's a points, rebounds, maybe some threes sort of guy. So he's not for everyone. I think Ilyasova is a little bit more versatile, but Morris is going to have some 14 team leagues definitely have to make sure Marcus Morris is owned, I think, and 12 team leagues want to pay attention to it. Stanley Johnson, the third guy out of that trio, he played 24 minutes in his NBA debut, 7 points, a 3, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. Not a great night from Stanley. He still chucked up 10 shots, only hit 3 of them, but it's good that he's getting involved. He was the first guy to come off the bench, played the most minutes out of the bench unit, which I think is really encouraging. So if you drafted Stanley Johnson, unless there's some stupendous player out there where you go, oh, I've got to have this guy, I think we hold on. We just see how it's going to roll out. I don't think Morris is going to get 37 and Ilyasova is going to get 34 minutes every night. Anthony Tolliver sat this one out due to the birth of his child, so congratulations to Anthony Tolliver. I'm sure he is listening to the Red Rock Basketball podcast immediately after having a child. So, Anthony, congratulations. For the Hawks, their leading scorer was none other than Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder played 25 minutes off the bench. He played next to Jeff Teague a lot. 20 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. We know that Schroeder's got immense talent. I've talked about Schroeder a lot on this podcast. He is going to be an awesome fantasy guy once he gets the start. For now, in 12-team leagues, I think that Schroeder definitely has. He shouldn't be sitting on a waiver wire again. It doesn't mean that you need to own him. But 22 to 24 minutes, he's going to be able to get that most nights. Now, he's not going to score 20 points most nights, but he's going to chip in with some assists, some steals, some threes, some points. That's worthwhile. And there are going to be times when Jeff Teague is bad and gets benched, because we saw it happen last season. They're going to play together. Schroeder's one of the reasons that Korver had his minutes limited as well. And throw in the fact that Kent Bazemore was basically Kent Bazemore, and that means shit house because he's not a good player. As much as I was saying, look, he's a great guy for tournaments, so at that price, and you thought, he's going to get decent minutes, he could have put up numbers, but he's not a good player. So Schroeder got some minutes there. I really like what he can do this season. Al Horford, that's solid Al Horford stuff there. 15, 4, and 4, 2 steals, 3 blocks. It's better than solid. That's really good. He hit a 3 as well, so the 3-point shooting from the preseason continues for Horford. Millsap went 19 and 8 with 2 threes. So big nights there. Jeff Teague, I mentioned him, 18, 2, and 4. Nothing to panic about. It's good to get 18 points out of him. Not a great line across the board, but pretty okay. And I think what we need to look at is said Kent Bazemore here played the starting small forward position. 21 minutes for Bazemore. 0 points. 7 rebounds, 1 assist. Not great. He doesn't have a spot in 12-team leagues, 14-team leagues maybe. But I think the thing that concerns with Bazemore is Thabo Sefolosha came off the bench. He played 19 minutes, had 2 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. He looked really good. He was really active. You can see this being just a complete mess of a situation. Tim Hardaway Jr. was inactive, which was a little bit surprising. Lamar Patterson came on and played 18 minutes as well. So we had Sefolosha with 19 minutes, Lamar Patterson with 18 minutes, Bazemore with 21 minutes, and Hardaway not even getting into the game, while Korver getting 29 minutes and Schroeder getting 25. There's a whole mess of things there. Korver obviously still remains must-own. Schroeder's approaching that territory, and definitely in 12-team leagues, I'd be looking to see if I can get him. But guys like Bazemore, guys like Cephalosha, maybe a stream option for Cephalosha for steals. It's looking like a not ideal situation. Thiago Splitter was a guy that I was pumping up a little bit in the offseason. He only played 16 minutes. It is one game. Let's see how that pans out, but that's not a great start. And Mike Muscala suffered an ankle sprain that limited him to 8 minutes, and that enabled Mike Scott to get into the action and play 5 minutes. If Muscala didn't go down, I don't think we're seeing Scott in this game. Next up was the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they took on the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls got the what did they get? They got the victory, and I think yesterday I put this the wrong way around as well. It wasn't Bulls at Cavaliers; it was Cavaliers at Bulls. Anyway, Mo Williams. Williams got 37 minutes in this game, 19 points, 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, a really, really solid line from Mo Williams. That's more than solid, that's fantastic. And while Kyrie is out, Mo Williams has value in pretty much every league. We saw last year, he was a top 50 guy for most of the season. But when's Kyrie back? We don't know when Kyrie's back. That's the problem. Mo should still be owned. I think Mo should be owned across the board. He played the most minutes out of all the Cavs. Matthew Dellavedova is not going to take too many minutes away from him. Jared Cunningham's not going to take too many minutes away from him. J.R. Smith was not good tonight. Williams is going to get minutes. It might be for a month. It might be for 2 months. But if you're deciding, you know, am I going to grab Mo Williams or am I going to grab Ish Smith? Yeah, Mo Williams is clearly the guy. He puts up big numbers whenever he gets a chance. Kevin Love was good. 18 with 3 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Don't expect that to continue, but we're back to sort of similar Kevin Love from when he was hitting his straps in January or February last year. And LeBron, 25, 10, and 5. That's a standard LeBron line. What's good is he hit 55% of his shots from the field, and he also played 36 minutes. So we hear, you know, LeBron's going to rest. He's not going to play as many minutes. Well, 36 is still a pretty good, decent chunk of minutes. Timofey Mozgov, 21 minutes as the starter. Tristan Thompson, 25 minutes. Both those guys. Thompson, I don't want in standard leagues. Mozgov, yeah, maybe. 5 rebounds and 2 blocks helps. But he's going to have his upside limited significantly by the presence of Thompson and by the presence of Anderson Varejao, who played 12 minutes. Now, Varejao's not worth owning on his own, but the fact that he's there, it impacts Mozgov and it impacts Tristan Thompson. For the Chicago Bulls, Jimmy Butler, you wouldn't say you're thrilled with that performance, but it's still pretty good. 17, 5, and 2, 2 steals and a block, no threes. Yeah, a pretty nice night from him. He did start slow. He got 9 points in the last quarter, but really helped the Bulls get the victory, so you're okay with that. Pau Gasol, horrible. 2 points, 2 rebounds. You love the 6 blocks, though, and don't cut bait on Pau Gasol based on the fact that he had 2 points and 2 rebounds. He will be better than this. Taj Gibson chimed in with 10 rebounds and 3 blocks off the bench. Still only deeper leagues. Derrick Rose, again, we heard all this. There's so much bullshit that comes out. Derrick Rose, yeah, he's going to be on a minutes limit. He's going to be eased back into it. He's going to be restricted. He played 32 and a half minutes, 18 points, 5 assists and a steal. He butchered your field goal percentage, which you knew he was going to do, but he added some assists. He added some points. And that's sort of what we expect. And you could have gotten him in the 80s or 90s of drafts. And that's a pretty decent return for that point. Another guy available at that time was Joakim Noah, who had 0 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. He's pretty much a guy that you have to punt points with. You're happy with the 4 assists and 9 rebounds out of a center. He left the game, did come back in, but left the game with a knee contusion. The Bulls play again tomorrow, today, whenever this is that you're listening to it. So we need to monitor his status. But for now, I think you still hold him in standard leagues. It might not last long. On the wings, Tony Snell played 29 minutes. 11 points, 2 threes. So he got the bulk of the minutes, but he's not fantasy relevant. He's not for standard leagues. Dougie McDermott, 8 points and 4 rebounds in 16 minutes. Let's wait and see how it pans out tomorrow. But if McDermott's going to get 16 minutes behind Tony Snell, then neither of them are worth owning in standard fantasy leagues. The next game that we have a look at is the Golden State Warriors. The New Orleans Pelicans traveled over there to take them on. And talked about Ish Smith already for the Pelicans. Let's talk about Anthony Davis, who really struggled with his shot. Like, really, 4 of 20 from the field. Not only is that really bad for him, it's really bad for anybody. And that's a big dent in your field goal percentage to start. Ended with 18 and 6 and 3 blocks. Really bad from the free throw line as well. 10 and 15. So that's a significant impact there. Davis will probably not be this bad again. The title of this episode is Drop Anthony Davis.
brackets, don't drop Anthony Davis, because I'm trying to be sarcastic with people panicking. Don't panic about Anthony Davis. There's nothing to worry about here. It was a bad game, a terrible shooting game. He is going to be a lot better than this. He missed both of his three-point attempts, but he took two still, so that's a positive sign from him adding that to his game. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out throughout the season, but it was there. I said we had no Drew Holiday play. We had no Luke Babbitt play, and all the other guys were out. Norris Cole, Quincy Pondexter, Tyreek Evans, Omer Asik. Asik could be back soon, but Alexey Ezhinsa did play. He was considered doubtful earlier in the week. He played. He played 17 minutes, 6-4. Now, if his minutes get back up, which they might not for a week, he's someone that you look at. But for now, we can leave him safely on the waiver wire. Kendrick Perkins started and had 10 points and 4 rebounds. I would hope that they would make the change and put Ezhinsa into the starting lineup over Perkins and play him next to Anthony Davis tomorrow. Dante Cunningham has hit two career three-pointers. He hit two of them in today's game against the Warriors. 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 threes. Nothing to worry about with him in terms of ownership in standard leagues. And Eric Gordon had 14, 4, and 4 with a really bad field goal percentage, but a couple of threes. A nice night from him as well. And I think he's going to continue to be a surprising guy for a lot of players this season, or a lot of owners this season. The Warriors, Andrew Bogut played just 19 minutes because he got his head cut open again, but he was really good. 12, 5, and 5 in 19 minutes with 2 blocks and hitting all 6 of his field goals. He was useful. I think that he has standard league value this year, even in limited minutes. We saw that's a really fantastic performance from Bogut if he can stay healthy. Klay Thompson, don't worry about him. 9 points in 26 minutes. Again, they blew the team out. They didn't need to worry about rushing their big guys out there a huge amount. Draymond Green, 10, 8, and 2 with 2 threes. And Festus Ezeli, in 17 minutes with Bogut off, he looked okay. 13 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, and a block. It's still only deeper league stuff, but it becomes a situation where if Bogut is out, maybe Ezeli becomes a guy that we want to look at and add into lineups. Harrison Barnes, still really ineffective. 33 minutes, 8 points, 9 rebounds. I don't think that Harrison Barnes has a spot in 10-team leagues. I think that he can in 12-team leagues, but by no means is Tristan Thompson a must. Not Tristan Thompson. Where did I get that name from? By no means is Harrison Barnes a must-own player. All right, now that's it for the games of... what day? Yeah, the games from Tuesday. Time for a quick break, and we transition into the 14-game preview for Wednesday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. Okay, so back now, and as you would have heard me on yesterday's podcast, the transition between the day before and the day after allows me to play a song by a great fan of the podcast, Bryce Whitney. Also enables me a chance to have a bit of a drink and catch my breath after talking to myself for that length of time. Now, there's 14 games on in Daily Fantasy, and to me, that's too many to really have a great Daily Fantasy day. We still don't know exactly what's happening with rotations, so I'm a little bit hesitant about throwing out big chunks of bankroll onto these games. You can still throw a little bit out there, see how it all pans out. But I don't want to be going and putting out your full allotment of 10% of your total bankroll on a day like this. Maybe go a bit lower, because with 14 games on, there is so much that can happen. And so, look, a lot of it comes down to just having a little bit of luck as well, as it does on a lot of days. But on a big day like this, it does become quite difficult to really put everything into perspective and get not only get a handle on what went down and try and predict what's going to happen and where the value comes from. The first game, as you can see on the screen, is the Washington Wizards at the Orlando Magic. We've got a spread of 4 points with an over-under of 205, so a pretty good total there. We think that the Wizards are going to continue to try and run at it pretty quickly. Alfred Payton has been dealing with a hamstring problem, but he is active. He is going to play. We've got a couple of other injuries to look out for. Tobias Harris has been sick. He'll likely play. Aaron Gordon has a sore foot. He will play. Jason Smith has a sore ankle. He will likely play. And for the Wizards, Nene has a calf problem, and he's likely to see the court as well. So all in all, not much to really worry about in terms of injuries here, but daily fantasy value, where is it? I think Chris Humphreys provides significant value at 4,400. He's going to start. He's going to throw up threes. He's going to, you know, get close to 30 minutes. I think at that price, he is great. Aaron Gordon comes in priced at under 4,000. If he plays, which it appears he's going to, I think he's a great tournament option because he could blow up. And if he gets you 20 fantasy points, I think that's a pretty good result. But he could get you 30, and then that's a fantastic result. So I really like Aaron Gordon there. Lord Alfred Payton at 7,400, I think that's a nice price. And Nick Vucevic at 7,900 is also a pretty solid guy to look at. You want to go to the Washington side of things. Otto Porter at 5,300, he's going to get some pretty good minutes. Whether that translates into fantasy stats, I'm not sure. He had some decent games in preseason. He had some decent games in the playoffs, but they weren't necessarily all that fantasy friendly. And now that he's over 5,000, it puts a little bit of doubt in my mind. Marcin Gortat at 6,500. Yeah, not bad, but not great. And John Wall at 9,400. It's not a great return on investment from getting John Wall at 9,400. But if you've spent cheap in other areas like Aaron Gordon, like Chris Humphreys, John Wall's going to get close to 40 fantasy points. And I think that's pretty good value. The next game we're going to have a look at is the Bulls. They're taking on the Brooklyn Nets. So the Bulls, fresh off, that's a big victory for the Bulls to get that first up one over the Cavs. They take on the Brooklyn Nets. Jarrett Jack has been ruled out. So happy birthday, Jarrett Jack. You're not playing. And what that means is Shane Larkin is likely going to get the start for the Nets, and we're going to see some more Donald Sloan. That is not ideal for people who enjoy watching basketball, but for daily fantasy, we need to pay attention to that. Shane Larkin comes in priced at 4,500. I think that you want to get a fair few shares of Shane Larkin. I think that we should see 25 to 28 minutes from him. At least I've got him projected at 30, so he could even go up to there. And if he gives you 25 fantasy points, it's a win in a cash game as well. So I like him there. Donald Sloan, Donald Sloan's at minimum salary. Maybe if you think that they're going to give Sloan the majority of minutes over Larkin at minimum in a tournament lineup, he's worth a look, but I don't particularly love it. Other guys from the Nets, Thad Young at 5,600, I think is a nice value. That's a pretty cheap price for Thad Young and a team that is talent star. People are going to have to score. So Thad Young is going to be involved in the game. Brook Lopez at 7,900. He put up some just massive numbers last year. He is worth a look at that price. It doesn't look like great value on the surface, but he could go 25 points. He could go 10 boards and 3 blocks. He could very, very easily do that. So I think he's got significant tournament upside. Bojan Bogdanović at 4,200, I think, is also a good play. For the Bulls, Joakim Noah at 5,700, I think I'm staying away from that. Look, even though he played only 17 minutes in today's game, he still got 17.8 points on FanDuel, which is a pretty decent return. The problem is he's got the knee problem now that he banged. The Bulls say it's going to be okay, but I'm still a bit weary. I look for Pau Gasol to really bounce back. Yes, he's priced at 7,900, and there is a little bit of risk there considering he only gave you 18 points yesterday, but I think he's due for a bounce back. Pau Gasol doesn't go out and have too many stinkers in a row, so we can look for him for a big one. And Nikola Mirotic is still at 5,500. He probably remains the best bet on the board for all players, so I really like getting Nikola Mirotic in there again. He almost hit 30 points in 25 foul-plagued minutes. If he gets up to 30 minutes, we could be looking at a 35-point performance, which at 5,500 is pretty significant value. Derrick Rose, he was good, but at 8,100, he needs to be better, so I probably want to avoid him. And Jimmy Butler, he gave us 32 points at 7,500, which is an okay salary. It's not fantastic, but at shooting guard, he's still a decent guy to look at. Obviously, we're still avoiding Tony Snell. We're still avoiding Doug McDermott. And I don't think Joe Johnson's a really great guy to look at either. The next game we have a look at is the Indiana Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. What do we make of this game? It's is it? I've got here on the screen Skinny Lowry. I want to see what Kyle Lowry can do for the Raptors. I think that he is going to be the real interesting case here. There's not many injuries we really need to pay attention to. I think Miles Turner is probably an interesting guy to look at because he suffered a sprained ankle and he's considered questionable to play here. Glenn Robinson is also questionable for the Pacers, but he's not going to have as much of an impact as what Turner is. I still think I want to stay away from Miles Turner though in daily fantasy. Kyle Lowry, though, at 7,500, that's really good value. I think that, well, that's the same price as Jimmy Butler. I think he can go bigger than Jimmy Butler. I really like what he's going to be able to do here. And Jonas Valanciunas is priced at just 6,000 for Toronto. I think that is really solid value as well. DeMar DeRozan at 8,000. He's the most expensive of the Raptors players. Probably want to avoid that situation. And Paul George comes back for his first game this season, 8,500. It's pretty expensive, but we've seen him put up some really big performances in preseason. So it's not someone that I'm systematically steering clear of. You could use him in certain situations, but it is a fair bit of cash to lay down on George, where we don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. Now the thing that's really going to suit George in this matchup is he's playing against the Raptors. If he's playing the four against the Raptors, he's going to have to match up on Patrick Patterson and Luis Scola, like guys who are crap. They're not going to really tax George with their size or with their offensive ability. So I don't think we need to worry too much about the impact on Paul George on that end of the court. Guys like Monte Ellis, Patrick Patterson, who I mentioned, Luis Scola, these are all guys that I think we need to avoid for tomorrow's slate. Corey Joseph is an okay, really cheap option at $4,000. If he gets 20 minutes, he could provide value, but probably not enough where I say, yeah, he's a guy that we really need to make sure we target. The next game on the board is the Utah Jazz and the Detroit Pistons. Can Stan Van Gundy sustain the momentum? They were fantastic against the Hawks. They blew them out of the water. There was a lot to like if you were a Pistons fan. Does it continue? They're at home here, so they're going to want to keep that momentum up. Guys, we want to look at. I think Stanley Johnson still at 4,300 is pretty good value. He only got 15 fantasy points in his 24 minutes. We might see him get a few more minutes tonight. Back to back. Maybe they don't want to run Ilias over those big minutes. Maybe they don't want to run Marcus Morris those sort of big minutes. It's worth paying attention to that we could get some value from Johnson. Ersan at 5,200, I still think he's a good guy to look at. And Marcus Morris at 5,700. I think it's unlikely he repeats the 36-point outing that he had tonight. So I probably want to fade him. Jazz guys, Derek Favors at 7,300. I think that's great value. I think he's going to be a really, really good play at that price. And I like Rodney Hood at 4,200 as well. I think there's a bit to like there with him. Andre Drummond, yeah, he was big. He almost got to 50 points, but at 9,000, and again, going up against Rudy Gobert, I don't think the matchup really screams to me that I want to use him. And speaking of Gobert, he's at 8,300. I definitely don't want to deal with Gobert at 8,300. He's a full 1,000 higher than Derek Favors, and I think that Favors will probably outperform him, so I can steer clear of that. Gordon Hayward at 7,400 doesn't scream huge value to me, whereas Reggie Jackson at 8,300, it's a big price you got to put on him. I don't think it's going to be a great performance. He had 34 points against the Hawks. The Jazz are a little bit of a different situation defensively. Not a great situation for Reggie Jackson at that price. It is a pretty expensive price. Not much else that really stands out to me. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,000. He definitely exceeded what we thought he was going to do yesterday. Can he do it again? Well, we know the opportunity is going to be there for him, but does he keep it going? That's something we definitely need to keep an eye on. Next up, the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. I think there's a lot of value from guys in this game. On the Charlotte side of things, Jeremy Lin at 4,800. He's going to get a fair few minutes, I would say, here. We've got Jeremy Lamb out. So basically at the two, there's going to be PJ Hairston and there's going to be Jeremy Lin. And Lin is clearly the better option over Hairston. Nick Batum will play some minutes, obviously, but then who plays at three? Lin is going to get minutes at 4,800. I really like what he can do. We need to see what Steve Clifford does with the starting power forward gig. Does he give it to Cody Zeller? Because if he does, Cody Zeller is priced at 3,900. I really like that price for Cody Zeller. I think that you're obviously going to want to monitor the situation and see exactly who is the starter and who is getting the minutes. But Zeller at 3,900 is someone who's intriguing to me for tournament plays. Nick Batum at 6,500, I love that price. And PJ Hairston's another tournament guy you want to look at. He's starting. He's going to have to get some minutes no matter how bad he is because the amount of guys that are out, Troy Daniels is probably not going to play. Jeremy Lamb is out. We know that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out. So at 3,500, PJ Hairston is someone that you almost have to throw into a lineup and see how it plans out because if he goes out there and puts up 25 fantasy points, it's a big win for you at that price. It's a huge win at that price. So he's someone you have to pay attention to. Kemba Walker, Al Jefferson, I think they're probably a little bit overpriced and we can get some value in other areas. Not the best plays on the board. For the Heat, Gerald Green at 4,000. He had a tremendous preseason in only limited minutes. You can definitely look at him there. I think that Dwayne Wade at 7,000 provides pretty good value as well. We know he's going to play, and when he plays, he puts up pretty good numbers, so he's someone to pay attention to. I don't want anything to do with Hassan Whiteside. I don't want anything to do with Goran Dragic here either. And Chris Bosh is priced at 8,000, which is probably a little bit high for me. The rookies, Justice Winslow and Frank Kaminsky, no thanks. We can get them at another time. I just don't think they're going to have anywhere near the sort of impact that they're going to need for me to want to deal with them on a daily fantasy roster. The next game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. There is a lot of injuries to concern ourselves with here. We know that Robert Covington is out, but what we need to have a look at is Nick Stauskas, Sauce Castillo. Is he going to play? At the start of the week, it seemed like no, he wasn't going to play. Now he thinks that he is going to play, but it's going to be a game time decision for Castillo. I know his name's not Castillo, but I can't help but call him that for Stauskas. It's a game time decision for him. Even so, he's priced so low, maybe you throw him into a tournament lineup, but if he plays, maybe he only plays 22 minutes. The thing is that the Sixers are so stretched on the wings. Covington's out, they cut all their point guards. Who is going to get the minutes? And that's the concern there. We obviously need to wait and see on Stauskas. There's no way he's a cash game play, but he could be a tournament option. Jeremy Grant at 3,700. I think that he's going to be another good tournament guy to look at. Someone, again, is going to have to get minutes on the perimeter for this team. And at 3,700, Grant could get 30 minutes a night. He can rack up some blocks, big chunks of blocks, four or five blocks. He can get you two steals. He can get you two threes, five rebounds. The percentages that he shoots, which are horrible, aren't going to hurt you here. So I think that Jeremy Grant, someone to look at. And Jahlil Okafor, priced at 5,600. Someone tweeted me a tweet about that before. They're talking about, is he priced too high for a rookie? At 5,600, I think that's pretty good value for him. I would be looking to get him into lineups as well. Other Philly guys, Isaiah Cannon is going to have to really shoulder a lot of the load at point guard. Him and TJ McConnell are the only guys there, and Cannon's the only guy with NBA experience. So at 5,200 for him, he's worth a look. TJ McConnell is at minimum salary. I probably don't want to go with him, and definitely not in cash games, but he's someone that you can consider in some tournament plays. And another guy for the Sixers who is going to get big minutes and is priced low, Hollis Thompson at 3,900. He is going to get big minutes and he can get hot as well. So there's a lot of tournament plays for the Sixers. Nerlens Noel at 7,500. Yeah, maybe. It depends on how I structure the rest of my roster. For Boston, David Lee is only at 5,400. I think there's value in him there, although the front court is a little bit of a mess. But Kelly Olynyk is out of this one. They're not going to put a huge amount of trust in Jared Sullinger, I think. Lee, Zeller, and Amir Johnson should handle most of the minutes. So Tyler Zeller's another guy you can consider. But again, I don't want to build cash game lineups on these guys because we don't know exactly how Brad Stevens is going to run this lineup. Isaiah Thomas is priced at 6,900, which is okay for him. He's not going to get big minutes. He's not going to push 30 minutes. That's just not what he does, but he can produce in that time, so that's okay for him. And Marcus Smart at 5,700. Probably want to steer clear until we see if we're dealing with a different Marcus Smart than what we have seen in the past. Almost halfway through these games now, Cleveland and the Memphis Grizzlies is the next game on deck. The Cavs, they're going to be desperate for a victory. They lost their first game of the season, so they're traveling on the road for the next one. No real injuries to worry about for the Cavs in terms of do we need to check to see if anyone's playing before tip or anything like that. Same with Memphis. Courtney Lee, I know that Courtney Lee is great value at $3,800 only. There's great value from Courtney Lee there. And I really like Mike Conley at $6,400. And Marc Gasol at $8,400. Probably a little bit too expensive for me. The other guy who's good here is Mo Williams at 6,000. Again, he was at over 37 fantasy points today. At $6,000, that's definitely exceeding value, so you can pay attention to him. LeBron's still at $11,000. He didn't even go close to, at 11,000, he needs to be putting up 55 points. He got 45 points. So you would have to have a lot of other guys in your lineup that were well exceeding their numbers. And if for some reason you rostered Ish Smith, then congratulations, because you would have collected a fair bit of money. But LeBron at 11,000, I don't really think I want to spend 11,000 on LeBron tomorrow. There are other options around with a 14-game slate where you can get more value than throwing $11,000 on LeBron. Same with Kevin Love at 7,200. I don't think it's a great investment. Neither is 7,200 on Zach Randolph. J.R. Smith at 5,700, he was poor, but whatever. I don't think I want too much to do with J.R. Smith at that price. I'm definitely steering clear of the Cleveland big men, Timofey Mozgov, Tristan Thompson, Anderson Varejao. I don't want anything to do with them in tomorrow's game. And said in daily or seasonal fantasy, yeah, they're not for me. The New York Knicks take on the Milwaukee Bucks in the next game. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out suspended. OJ Mayo is out for the Milwaukee Bucks as well. So they've got a real interesting... I'm going to talk about the Knicks in a sec, but the Bucks, there's no Mayo, no Antetokounmpo. Jabari Parker is out as well. So their lineup is going to be interesting. And there's going to be some guys getting some extra minutes. They need a power forward. John Henson is going to have to step up. He's priced at 4,600. I like his value. General Grievous Vasquez, he's going to have to jump into OJ Mayo's spot and take some of those minutes, as is rookie Rashard Vaughn at 3,800. So both of those guys, Vaughn in a tournament, he could get hot and he could drain a couple of threes. No, not enough trust in him for cash games, but there is definitely value there, as is Jared Bayless at 3,500. That's another tournament option. We don't know how they're going to run it. Is Vasquez, Vaughn, Bayless, who's going to get the most minutes? I think that in a tournament sort of lineup, all those guys are going to have some value. Michael Carter-Williams feels, you know, sort of fairly priced, maybe a bit under at 6,100, so I'd like using him in some certain situations. There's Greg Monro at 8,000. Yeah, it's okay if you've got a few other guys, cheap guys built into your lineup, but as a general rule, I don't think I'm going too hard on Greg Monro there. For the Knicks, I really like Robin Lopez at 4,500, especially with Kevin Serafin out. That's just a big man out of the rotation for the Knicks. So Robin Lopez at 4,500. But where the Knicks is going to be interesting is their guard situation. Aaron Aflalo is out with a hamstring issue, so what are they going to do? You know, Jose Calderon, Jerian Grant, Langston Galloway, Sasha Vujacic, who's going to get the minutes? I don't think any of them are going to have significant value. They're all priced, you know, okay, Jerian Grant at 4,400, Galloway's at 45, Calderon's at 49, Vujicic is at 3,500. You can throw a couple of them into tournament lineups, but they're not really appealing to me all that much. Kristaps Porzingis at 4,800. Yeah, tournament only, definitely. They're definitely not any sort of confidence I have on him being able to really exceed that. And Carmelo Anthony at 9,400. It's cheaper than LeBron, I'll give it that. He could have a big game, but 9,400 is a pretty expensive price. He's going to need to do some pretty special things for me to really go, yeah, that's worth spending the 9,400 on. The next game on deck is the Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets. Some interesting things here, definitely. There's no Dwight Howard for the Houston Rockets. There's no Donatas Motiejunas for the Houston Rockets. So we're going to see Terrence Jones at power forward. We're going to see Clint Capella at center. So Clint Capella at 4,400. He is one of the best guys on the board. We've seen him in last year's playoffs in the preseason. When he gets minutes, there are going to be rebounds. There are going to be blocks. He's going to do some okay scoring. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's a great option at 4,400. And Terrence Jones at 6,000. I think he's significantly underpriced at that as well. Trevor Ariza at 5,800, I'll be getting all over him as well. He's going to have to play a pretty big role. And James Harden, if I'm spending up on one big name player, James Harden at 10,800, I think I really want to get involved with him there. How are the Nuggets going to stop him? I can't see how they can. An interesting player is Ty Lawson, obviously going up against his former team. He's priced at 7,500, so it is expensive. So it's not like let's just throw a flyer on into tournament, because it is pretty expensive. And overall, I'd probably say steer clear, but maybe he's going to be extra motivated against his former team. So that's something you can pay attention to. This game is littered with value. Yusuf Nurkic is out, so yeah, Joffrey Lavernier is going to be getting the start. He is minimum salary, and he is pretty much a must play. You could put him at center, sorry, him at power forward and Clint Capella at center, and I think you're going to get pretty good returns on investment with both of those guys. So they're two of the biggest name or biggest value guys on the board today. Nikola Jokic at 3,500 as well, another minimum salary guy. He's going to have to get a lot of minutes for the Denver Nuggets too. So I think that he's definitely, if he's not starting, he's definitely a little bit more riskier than what Lavernier is, but both of those guys in tournament plays have pretty good value. Kenneth Faried is slightly under 7,000, so I think he's worth a look. And Emmanuel Mudiay at $5,500, he's definitely someone that's definitely worth looking at in tournaments and in cash games, I think, as well. If you want a real sort of guy that is probably not going to be owned in many places, Montrezl Harrell for the Houston Rockets, another minimum salary big man. Someone has to play the backup minutes. Is it Clint Capella? Terrence Jones are going to be the two main starters, but someone has to play some backup some backup four there. And Harrell is probably going to have to be the guy. He might only get 20 minutes, but at 3,500, he could go out there and grab 10 boards. That's not too crazy because he's a pretty aggressive rebounder. So pay attention to Montrezl Harrell. Gary Harris looks like he's going to be the starting shooting guard in Denver. There's some usefulness for him in 14-team standard leagues as well, and 12-team leagues if you're looking for steals, because he was the Nuggets' leading steals guy over the preseason. So let's just keep an eye on him. But if you're looking for someone to grab and really need those steals, I think Gary Harris is gonna be a real interesting guy to see how he plays out. Danilo Gallinari at 6,600. That's an okay price. I reckon you can definitely use that in a lot of situations. The next game on deck is the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've got here on the screen saying we just want to look at the Spurs chemistry. And what I mean by that is how do LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard really fit together? How does Tim Duncan fit in there? What does Tony Parker do? Does he take a back seat? We don't really know how this is all going to play out. I think Danny Green at 4,200 is ludicrously cheap. Now, Green's a guy who can have some bad games, but he can also blow up. So he's a really good tournament guy to look at here. But I'm not necessarily avoiding him in cash games either. I think there's something there for him. Kawhi at 7,800, maybe a little bit expensive. LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,700, he's definitely a lot expensive. I don't want anything to do with him at that price. As for the Thunder guys, Russell Westbrook is 10,800. If I'm spending 10,800, I'm spending it on James Harden and not Russell Westbrook, as good as he has been. It's hard to justify doing that against the Spurs, whereas Kevin Durant is at 10,300. Not bad. Definitely not a bad price. It's cheaper than Westbrook, but I'm not sure. I'm going to be putting Kevin Durant out there into a lineup in a tournament. If you want to build with some cheaper guys around him, like Lavernier, like Capella, Durant could go big. He could put up 50 fantasy points, which he'd need to at that sort of salary. He's definitely not a must roster guy for me at this point. The best value guy on the board for this team is Danny Green at the moment. Four games to go. Got the New Orleans Pelicans and the Portland Trail Blazers is the next game on deck. I said there is Ish Smith for real. I've already talked about that before. No, Drew Holiday's back, so Smith's minutes are going to be dropped. They're going to drop significantly. You can definitely roster him. He's still a minimum salary guy, so throw him into some tournaments, but I don't think you want to bank on him getting 37 fantasy points again. That's pretty unlikely. Anthony Davis at 11,200. He definitely wasn't worth that for today's games. You think he's going to bounce back and put up some big numbers, but with so many games on, I don't know if that's the wisest use of your money. I still like Eric Gordon at 5,200. I think that he's worth it there. And Ryan Anderson was a real strange one. Didn't get off the bench at all in the first quarter. Only put up 16.7 fantasy points. At 5,400, I look for a bit of a bounce back for him. The Trailblazers, Mason Plumlee at 5,000 and CJ McCollum at 5,200 are really, really significant value plays there. I think they can be used in a lot of situations. And Al-Farouq Aminu, if he plays, dealing with a hamstring at 5,200, I think that he can provide something as well as Myers Leonard, a guy who I've been pretty excited about pretty much all offseason at 4,900. I think there's a lot to like about Myers Leonard. Damian Lillard, who's the unquestioned best player on this team, but he's priced at $9,000. Maybe he could go big, and there's definitely a chance for that. It's probably more of a tournament thing for me, but we just don't know what he's going to be able to do. Now, the good thing is he's going to be going up against a not 100% Drew Holiday, Ish Smith, and Nate Robinson, so he could tear those guys apart. So in a tournament, I think that Damian Lillard has he's got appeal, and at least he's not paying. You're not spending $10,000 on getting Damian Lillard. The next game up on deck is the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. And this is a tough one because Wes Matthews and Darren Williams are both on minutes restrictions. What those restrictions are, we've got no idea. So that means steer clear of these guys and steer clear of most Dallas players. I think some guys in a tournament in Dallas, guys, if you want to throw them in, Dwight Powell at 3,500, Jeremy Evans at 3,600, basically minimum salary guys, they're going to have to get some minutes. They're worth a look. Same as John Jenkins at 3,900. But we don't know. We don't know what the minutes limit is for Matthews. Is it 25 minutes? Is it 15 minutes? Same with Williams. What's he going to play? 24? 18? All those things. If Williams is out and not out, if he's really limited and Matthews is really limited, Jenkins gets a bump. Ray Felton gets a bump. JJ Barea gets a bump. But at this point, we don't know how they're going to run the lineup. So we can forget most of those guys. TJ Warren at 4,000 for the Suns is pretty good value, and as is Markieff Morris at 6,200 and Eric Bledsoe at 7,300. So if I'm getting guys from this game, it's the Phoenix players. I think they have good to great value, most of those guys. And Brandon Knight at 6,500, he's also not priced all that expensively. The last two games of the night, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Sacramento Kings is up next. George Karl is messing with us at the moment. Willie Cauley-Stein's going to start. Willie Cauley-Stein's going to start. Willie Cauley-Stein's going to start. Oh, you know what? Costa Koufos is probably going to start. Cool. Thanks. Look, we've got Ben McLemore. Marco Bellinelli's playing well. Darren Collison, yeah, he's doing well. But you know what? We'll probably go with James Anderson. Like, who? It's a massive stay away to me in cash games, at least. Costa Koufos is minimum salary, though. So in a tournament, Costa Koufos at 3,500, he could start and play 25 minutes. He could get you 20 points. And that's pretty good. But cash games, we just don't know what to expect. We've got no idea. DeMarcus Cousins at 10,900. I think that's some okay value there. I think he's going to be pretty big. The other thing we've got to watch for is Rudy Gay. He just had a baby as well. So we don't know if Rudy Gay is going to play. If Rudy Gay doesn't play, Omri Caspi at 3,900 becomes a guy that you smash in pretty much all situations. He was awesome last season when Gay sat out. And at that sort of salary, you can get a pretty significant return on investment at that price. Rajon Rondo at 5,200. I actually think he's worth looking at that price. That's a really cheap price for him. DeAndre Jordan at 7,700. You'll get solid from him. You know what you're going to get, which is great for cash games, and you can build around that. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are both close to 10,000. No, I don't think I want them at $10,000. And Lance Stephenson is apparently going to start. But again, what does that mean? What is he going to play? 20 minutes? 15 minutes? What's Paul Pierce going to play? What's Wes Johnson going to play? What's Jamal Crawford going to play? What's JJ Redick going to play? We don't know how this lineup's going to work out. So again, Stephenson at a minimum salary is appealing for a tournament, but for a cash game, there is zero chance. And to go back to the Costa Koufos point, he's at 3,500. Willie Cauley-Stein is at 5,300. There is no way that I'm spending $1,800 more on Willie Cauley-Stein than what I'm spending on Costa Koufos. It's just not happening. The last game of the night is the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Los Angeles Lakers. And I've got a note there. Who starts at point guard for the Lakers? Because all of a sudden, Byron Scott, in all his infinite wisdom, is, oh, no, I don't know if D'Angelo Russell's going to start. Maybe Marcelo Huerta starts. Now, Huerta has been dealing with a hamstring injury, just sort of been declared, yeah, he should be right to go. And then Scott the dickhead comes out, look, yeah, we might start him. Don't buy into it. Don't go and add Marcelo Huerta to your daily games lineups. Don't add him to your standard league lineups. This is just Byron Scott being stupid yet again. There is value in the Lakers, though. Julius Randle at 4,500. I'm not a huge Julius Randle fan for his fantasy value, but in daily fantasy, that's great. I really love that there. Gorgui Dieng at 4,900 for the Timberwolves is significant as well. Whereas Nick Young is worth a tournament look at 3,900. And Lou Williams, I think, is pretty solid at 4,800 in cash games and in tournament play. You have to spend $5,700 on D'Angelo Russell, and I don't want to do that, and $6,100 on Karl Anthony Towns. I'm actually not. I'm okay with Towns at that price, given the lack of defense that the Lakers have got and lack of offensive firepower, so he could rack up some numbers. Not much else I want to look at. I'm definitely avoiding Zach LaVine. I don't want anything to do with Kevin Martin. Jordan Clarkson, we still don't know his status with his shoulder. Roy Hibbert in Los Angeles is the other guy that is moderately appealing. We'll put it that way. There is some value there with him. All right, that's 14 games done. What I'm going to put up on the screen now, if you're watching on YouTube, just some my sort of value plays at each position. And the way I do it is a cheap option, a mid-priced option, and an expensive option at each position. So if you are watching now, you can see it there on the screen. At point guard, Jeremy Lin at 4,800. Rajon Rondo at 5,200 is the mid-price guy. And Kyle Lowry at 7,500. For shooting guard, Gerald Green at 4 grand. Eric Gordon at 5,200. And James Harden at 10,800. Small forward, TJ Warren at 4,000. Nikola Mirotic at 55. And Kawhi Leonard at 7,800. For the power forwards, there's significant value here. Joffrey LaVerne at 75. Try again. Joffrey LaVerne at 3,500. Julius Randle at 4,500. Pau Gasol, still good value at 79. You'd have to be a little bit worried, but he could put up some value there. And at the center position, Clint Capella at 4,400. Mason Plumlee at 5,000. And Nick Vucevic at 7,900. All right, that's it. We got through all of that, which was a stack of information. Don't forget, guys, to subscribe to the podcast on either iTunes or on YouTube. or do both. I think that's probably the best idea. Tell your friends to go across and subscribe to that. Also, tell your friends to start playing Moneyball if you're in Australia and get yourself some daily fantasy cash. Don't forget, you can tweet me. Actually, what, you know what? There were some listener questions. So before I sign off, let's do those now. Okay. Yes, it's Stito on Twitter. I understand it's only a one game sample, but who did you and who do you like better going forward? Dennis Schröder or Eric Gordon? It's still Gordon for me. He's more of a consistent role there. Yes, Schröder was great, but it's still definitely Gordon there. Vivek at VP90244. He said, I'm not a fan of Marcus Morris's game, but 37 minutes a trend? I think so. That front court is so thin. I don't think he's getting 37 minutes. Anthony Tolliver didn't play. He had the paternity issue in terms of, you know, he had a kid, so he wasn't playing. So there's some minutes there that he's going to play, and Stanley Johnson's going to get more minutes. So as I mentioned before, Marcus Morris will still get some decent run, but you need to understand what you're going to get from him. Goomba on Twitter at Mestre Goomba. Seems like Gary Harris will start. Do you think he has standard league potential? Mentioned that before. If you need steals, yes. And then Steven Adams, MVP at King Bluff. How long is Mo Williams' window projected to be? 1 to 2 months? I wish we knew, King Bluff. Oh, who knows? Who knows when it's going to be? You'd have to think that you're going to get at least 3 weeks out of Mo Williams at this point. But again, we don't really know. All right, now we're done. Let's try that sign off again. Don't forget, check out Hardwood Paroxysm and sign up to the other podcasts on that network. And if you're listening through Hardwood Paroxysm, thank you for listening. iTunes reviews, you can sponsor the show if you leave a review and you'll get a big shout out at the start. I really appreciate those. They help the show move up the rankings significantly. So thank you to everybody who has done that. Subscribe on YouTube, watch the show live on YouTube, tweet me questions at redrock_bball. Make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster. I think we're done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.